Y'all are the best.
Love you.
Love y'all.
Man, love this house. Love this church. Thank you, Pastoral, for that very kind intro. We feel really honored to be a part of this house and help build this vision and be a part of building the kingdom globally, but what God's doing through Shoreline City.
Today we're going to talk about being planted in church. And we talked about a little bit of it with the interns. Where are the interns at? I see. Usually they all sit together. It's like they're in the group. Like, but we had a good time last week. We definitely want to honor Pastor Earl and Anika.
Yes.
The two of you guys, it's funny because even on baptisms yesterday, if you get to see Pastor Earl and Anika, they're serving, but they're also looking at people, but they're also trying to figure out the logistics of it and make sure people are seeing. And it can seem a little chaotic, but the way they lock in eyes with each person, like if you're in with this person, I'm with you for this next 30 seconds. And they did that with me the first time I walked the shoreline.
Wow.
And it's part of my story of being planted.
Wow.
I remember walking to Pastor Unika and she looked at me and she said, "You have a great spirit."
Aww.
But when she said it, people can say things to you sometimes and you just kind of hear it and you forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
But some people, they can say things to you and it just sticks in your heart.
Yeah.
And that comes out of an honesty and a purity.
Yeah.
And being there for one person.
So,
so they do that like nobody.
Yeah.
And I feel like if each one of us can master 50% of that, the church can be, you know, God knows where we're gonna take us. But
We'll kind of dig in here. I would say if we're gonna title this, be Remain.
Oh, Remain, okay.
I'm gonna read from Matthew 13:4. It's the parables, and Jesus says, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow, but when the sun came, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root.
Wow.
Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear."
Yeah.
We're obviously talking to leaders. You're all leaders. If you don't think you are, you are. You're a leader of this house. We're talking to staff. We're talking to interns. We're talking to serve team. So all of you guys are planted. So these are, you're here. You're planted your seed. You're planted, your roots are deep.
Yeah.
But we're talking to you as like reminders of like language. Maybe this is your first time. Maybe you hosted this past weekend and this is all new to you.
Yeah.
We just want to remind you who we are as Shoreline City
and
why we believe being planted is such a beautiful and holy thing.
Yeah, it's so good.
Yeah, so we have 5 points, okay, for the people that like to take notes. And then hopefully we'll keep that in time. The first point, the first topic that we're going to talk about is, when you're planted, it causes you to grow and flourish, okay? When you submit it to under healthy leadership, under healthy leaders who know you, know where you are, know your family, they speak in your life, that causes you to grow.
Yeah.
I don't know, the interns, you guys are here for a couple months. I personally, my story here at Shoreline, I feel like when 1 year passed, I grew like 5 years in one.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it kind of feels a little surreal when you look back. It's like, how did I grow so much in such a short time?
Yeah.
It's all about being planted under a healthy leadership.
Yeah.
And when you're willing and in your heart to grow, to lay everything down and to say, "Hey, tell me, what do you see? What are my blind spots? Or how can I grow this way or that way?" When you learn by observing and and when people lead by example and you are able to, you know, adapt and see, "Oh, I see him doing that.
So
I'm just going to do that as well.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep following the example."
Yeah. Yeah.
It all comes from being planted under a healthy leadership.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
That's so good.
See, I would even say that's part of that scripture where it says seed fell on good soil.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you're around people that are better than you or even have gone before you, you're being planted in healthy soil, and it says you will produce a crop 160 and 30 times what was sown.
Wow.
And I think like it's kind of like being in an incubator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
and how when you're under that, mm-hmm. you can grow so much faster. But you have to be planted. I think of the mom. I don't know if anyone had a mom or a parent or guardian that was kind of like this, but if you kind of had that little wall and they would kind of mark every season where you kind of grew, and then you can kind of look back and you're like, oh my gosh, you already grew 2 inches, you know, and you just see this level of growth, but that comes when you plant somewhere and you have a history somewhere, and it comes through time. It comes through time, but you can actually see that growth. So healthy leadership.
That's so good.
You can talk about the second point.
Okay. I'd say number two, being planted strengthens your resilience and your root system. It talked in that scripture, it said, it did not take root because it was in shallow soil. Mm-hmm. It's super important that we have deep roots. And when you stay and things are watered, there's sunlight, your roots go down deep.
They do.
We talk about this a lot. The red oaks in California that are like magnificent and so tall and beautiful and just, I've never seen them in person, but I've seen the photos and I'm like, man, this is kind of just crazy, God's creation. But what's actually crazier is the root system. It's even bigger than the trees that you see up on the surface. And it them being locked in with each other causes that root touch that we talk about. But they're stronger together. Their root system is actually stronger than what you see on the outside. And when we are in community, when we are with each other, we lock like this. And when the winds come and the storms come, because they will. You know, we talked about Lucas's dad and all these different life moments, they come. But when you're locked in and the wind comes, you're not going to be moved. You're not going to be shaken. Maybe the wind, you feel it up at the top a little bit, but your root system, there's nothing to be moved there.
And this is the thing that matters. I know everybody goes through something in life. You know, it can be a small thing or a bigger thing. Sometimes it's seasons. Sometimes it takes a longer time. But the people that you have with you, the community, when you build that resilience and the root system, the community you have, you know, Shoreline is huge in community. We love people. I think about that story in the Bible when the paralyzed man wanted to see Jesus and he couldn't get to him. Right? Jesus was inside the house. He couldn't get to it. But there was the crazy friend. He's crazy. He's like, let's climb the roof, make a hole up there. You got to have people that have the faith. They're a little bigger than yours sometimes. So you can experience the healing and the breakthrough on the other side of you. I wonder sometimes, like, what if he dumped out that friend? Or what if he didn't have that friend with him? He wouldn't get the healing that he was looking for. And that all comes from being rooted, from being established in a place, from being, from building. Now, this is not easy. This is not a talk that's like, you can do that the next day. It takes time. It takes some checking, heart checks. Difficult conversations and some rubbing here and there. But the growth on the other side of it, when you stay, when you don't quit, when you keep asking the questions, then people will always be more important than your opinions and then what do you do. Quite often we find people and we find these conversations and about the why we do things behind, the why behind we do things. Why? Because when you go into a place, it's very easy for you to look at something and the first thing that comes is your own opinion of it. Super easy, you know? And sometimes if you don't know how to deal with your own opinion, you lose the resilience of staying in the course. And sometimes you drift left, you drift right, and, or you lose the vision, or you lose the heart, you lose connection. You kind of push, you know, something away that you're not supposed to push, because people are always more important than what are you doing. So for an example, I'll just bring a quick example. We talked about this last year. We here at Shoreline, we love visuals, okay? We're for that. We love a good halo and the LEDs and this huge thing and a little bit of lights here and there. Not everybody understands the why behind we do that. And that's okay. The reason why, I'll just pick one thing as an example. I'll bring a context and then at the end we'll talk more about it. But if you sit all the way in the balcony in the last seat, the lights that are up here, they kind of guide the people's eyes to where they have to go. If you turn all the lights off and there's one light at the end of the room, everybody will look to that light. All the eyes would be directed to that place. Where there's light, everybody focus, because if there's darkness all around. So all the lights that we have up here, they kind of help everybody up there in the balcony here in the auditorium to connect to what's happening here. The cameras, they help capture what the worship team is doing and lead people by example.
Wow.
So, but if you don't think about it,
that's right.
It may seem, this seems a little big.
It seems this.
So here are two things that I always do when I don't know the answer. I believe the best and I know that there's people behind it.
Come on.
And I ask the why behind it.
Yeah.
And those are good things. Those are healthy things. For you to keep your heart in the right place. Keep your resilience. The fight in your mind, the fight in your heart, and stay in the course.
That's good.
Okay, number three, being planted builds the kingdom. It builds the kingdom. There's like a healthy pollination when you talk about a garden. It spreads, it builds, it grows. And in Dallas alone, okay, I looked this up, there are 1.3 million people that live in Dallas alone. I'm not talking about San Antonio, I'm not talking about Austin, I'm not talking about Houston, just in our Dallas metroplex. 1.3 million people. That's 1.3 million ones that need to know Jesus, that need to be loved, that need hope, that are going through it. And it's on us to get them out of the water.
Wow.
Pastor Earl talks on this so beautifully. I love the visual he gives about being on a boat. And he has those lifeboats. And if you haven't heard that sermon, I encourage you to go listen to it. It's incredible. But those lifeboats, and when you're in a boat, you're safe. You have people in your boat. We're not trying to pull other people out of other boats that are safe. We're trying to go after the people that are drowning in the water, that are hopeless and desperate. We're going after the one when you're in the Starbucks line and you're loving on the person checking you out. When you're loving on someone at Target, when you're at Zara, you know, wherever you go, we're going after those ones. There's so many people that we are called to love and serve. I feel like there's a beautiful visual. Rachel always says this. It's kind of like her word picture for what we're called to as a church family. There's like this red cross in the spirit over our house. And it's like an emergency room for people that are broken, maybe church hurt, maybe have never come into the walls of a church before. It's an evangelistic calling. And man, where do you go get those people? Outside the walls of this house, walls of a church. And we're not, I mean, don't get it twisted. We are not in a competition with other churches. We love what we get to do at this house because we've been called for such a time as this. We have a vision that we are literally, we're like, man, we're going to go after those people in the water. We're going to go after those people in the water. We're hungry. We're desperate to go grab them because God loves each one of them. He has a call for each one of his kids and we have the opportunity to go get them. But we're not, we can't do it by ourselves.
That's right.
And we need all the churches in this area. I mean, when I came to Shoreline, I was so like blown away by this place, but I grew up in church and I'd been raised in a beautiful church. I love my church back in New York and I have beautiful stories there. But when I came here, I was kind of overwhelmed in this Bible Belt culture. I was like, wow, there's so many churches in this area and wow, they're all beautiful and they're doing so many beautiful things. There's so many stories and lives being changed. I was so overwhelmed in the best way of like, man, God, you're just doing so many things here, just even in Dallas alone. I know we have churches all over, and but I was just so enamored by it. But I remember the moment I walked in Shoreline and something shifted for me. Rachel was singing. I don't know where she even is right now. Oh, yeah, she's over here. She was singing, and I immediately felt the presence of God. And I mean, I walked through the doors of our lobby in Town North. This is in 2013. My cousin brought me, and I immediately felt the presence of God. And I remember crying and just weeping through this whole service. And I was like, man, I've been a part of so many beautiful churches here. As I'm just, you know, I'm a CFNI student. I'm trying to figure out where I'm supposed to plant. And I was like, I felt like God's like, this is where you're supposed to be. This is your home. And I have literally not looked back. It's been the best ride and journey. But I knew something was different about this house. And I felt like I personally was called to plant in this house.
Yeah, so good.
But when other people are called to plant in other houses, we encourage
that.
That's
right.
We're not trying to build our church and go, come, you're in that boat, come over here. No, we're going after people in the water. And it's important that we keep saying that because there's so many beautiful houses that are all called. They're all called just like we are, but we're going after people in the water.
And when you see something that you love about the church, so you celebrate it. You celebrate it. And maybe this church is not called to do this, and maybe this church has an emphasis on that, and it's all part of the body. Yeah. That doesn't mean that everybody has to do the same thing the same way. We're reaching different people, and there's a lot of people out there, and they're all coming to different places, and we celebrate them. One thing that I love about Shoreline, and if you can put Shoreline into two words, okay, we're talking about this kingdom and multiple ministries. Okay. I would say Shoreline is all about spirit and truth. Spirit and truth.
That's a compliment.
Spirit and truth. There is purity. There is people. There is love. There is spirit. There's fire. There's presence. Spirit and truth. So if you don't know how to put Shoreline into two places, I would say these two words can go a long way with our church. Number four, we just came out on number three. That was build, being planted, builds kingdom. That was number three. Number four is being planted. It champions unity and creates a safe place for sons and daughters to come home. When you're planted in a place, it builds unity. Okay, it builds unity, and it creates a safe place for the sons and daughters that left for a while to come back home. They come back, the place is united, the place has the presence of the Lord, the place is full of love, full of purity, and now these people that came out, now they're back home. Why? Because people stayed, and they're planted in this place.
I don't even want to tag off of that. The soil here, and we're all planted here, right? We call this our church home. But I just want to remind you, the soil here is healthy. We're not talking about getting planted in unhealthy soil. We know our soil is healthy, but we're going to remind you who we are. We love Jesus. We love Jesus. We keep the main thing the main thing. And we're going to be passionate about Him and building His kingdom. We're passionate about going after the one. And loving and serving the hurting. That is who we are to our core. And we're gonna raise up. We're like, man, our hands are open. God, you're giving us the people. Help us steward them to be all that they're called to be, just like you did for me, just like you did for Lucas. God, we're just called to steward this. And the thing is, when you peel back the layer, it's still the same. You hear from the platform, but behind the scenes, it's still the same. I remember, back at White Rock, back when Alan Tuttle was actually here, and we were talking about raising the stage, okay? And we were talking about, you know, we need some LED lights, literally raising the stage. So just to paint a picture, if you didn't get to see our White Rock campus before we had all the LED and all that thing, we had a stage that was maybe 2 feet tall, and it was carpeted, and we were just so grateful because we had a new space, and so I just remember this season, and we're like, we need LEDs, and we need these things, and I remember PE being like, guys, I love that, you know, that's all great, but I don't know, he was kind of wrestling, if I can even be honest, he was wrestling with, I don't want to raise the stage because I want to lock eyes with people. And I think the moment that we even moved forward was he actually had sat up in the balcony and we had these pillars and we had these small TVs and somebody had come up to him and said, oh my gosh, I was praying for my sister to come to church. I've been praying and praying and praying. And she finally said yes, but she couldn't really see or hear anything. And that was the moment where PE said, hold on, let me go sit up there and feel that experience. What's it like for this person sitting in this seat? What's it like for this person? Oh my gosh, if I was praying for my family member, I want to make sure that they have the best experience so that they can hear the gospel and that everything is out of the way for God to just do what He does. And that's the moment that we lifted the stage. We invested in the LED lights. We invested in all the things so that you could experience God from the back to the front because we're called to the one. So every decision that we make here, there's a one behind it. Every table that we set, every detail that you see that's so beautiful and curated is because we see the one. Every post on social media is because we're like, how is this going to reach the daughter that is broken and hurting and sitting in anxiety? Maybe, just maybe, this little, as we're scrolling, the reel that she sees actually has hope and life on it. Every decision that we make, that's who we are.
Amen.
That's who we are. So I'm just here to remind you that the soil here is healthy. It is beautiful. We're keeping the main thing. The main thing.
That's the default. That is the default. And we'll never lose that. It's been years, and it's years are going to come. People are going to change. We're not going to be here at some point. It's going to stay the same.
So and the time that
the time that you're here, make sure that you push that forward.
Yes.
That the time that we're designed to be here in our calling,
yeah,
we just keep pushing the same thing
wow.
forward. The last point,
powerful.
Number five, is being planted. It unlocks the path for your calling.
Yeah, that's right.
It bears fruits when you're in the good soil.
Yep.
We're called to build the kingdom. Many are called, but few are chosen. And if you get planted and you keep your heart in the right place and you keep the purity in your heart and you keep Jesus being the focus of your life and chasing the center of His will, there is no other place that you can be besides His calling
exactly.
for your life.
Yep. That's right.
You're going to be in it.
You're going to be in it.
Yeah. And when you're in it, everything's going to flourish.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
And it feels so easy sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, I think of some of you guys that came here, and it's like, man, I'm so young. Man, why am I entrusted with this right now? I don't feel it's the calling.
Yeah.
Wow.
You're planted in the right place. You have the right heart.
Yep.
It's going to bear fruits
yep.
if you stay in the cord,
yep.
if
man.
You are resilient. If you keep loving on Jesus,
so good,
if you're building unity,
that's right.
if you keep building the kingdom, all these things that we talked about since the first topic, if you can do all these four things, it's
wow.
going to unlock. And I often have some conversations with some guys that I think of my calling being this, like, let's say there's five drawers in the rack, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The first drawer is unlocked. This is the season you're in. When you open the first drawer, that's the key for the next one. And you open it, you grab
yeah,
the key.
Yeah, yeah.
Now you open the second one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now there's the key for the third one. There are seasons.
Yeah.
And there are phases to it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the thing is, if you get the first key, that's not going to lock the fifth door.
Yeah, that's
right. Yeah.
And that's sometimes when you get it twisted or when you get frustrated in seasons.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I really want to do that, or I really want to be there, or I want to be doing this, or X, Y, and Z, or why am I still here, or... It doesn't feel like I'm in my calling.
Mm.
It's not lining up. It's not the key for you yet.
Wow, that's right.
And
that's
maybe
so
if
good.
You open that fourth door, you may see something in there that's not for you, or you're not going to make it flourish, or it's not going to be super healthy in the season.
Right,
you're not going
right.
to be able to store it right. So it's all about trusting the process,
yeah.
trusting Jesus,
yeah.
and
yeah.
keeping the main thing, the main thing. Don't lose who you are
yeah.
in the path of your calling.
I would even just say we live in a culture that's so ready for the next thing, the next
yeah.
quick fix.
Yeah.
Remaining's hard.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Staying the course is hard.
Wow. Yeah.
You choose your hard
yeah.
because you could just go and keep scattering
yeah.
like
yeah,
the seeds,
right. Right.
but then the sun comes and they're scorched.
Yeah.
When waves
wow.
come, you're like,
yeah.
who's in the boat with me? Who's in the boat with me? I'm not even in a boat.
Man.
But when you remain,
powerful.
When you stay the course,
yeah.
Yeah.
when you don't quit, even if you disagree with something,
yeah.
Yeah.
Unity is not tested when you agree.
Yeah.
Unity
yeah.
is tested when you disagree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But when the main things are healthy and beautiful, and you remain in it,
woo.
Watch and see.
Yeah.
When the water comes and the sun comes,
yeah.
you literally will be. You'll look back. And you won't even just see yourself, but you'll see a garden full.
Yeah,
you're not even just seeing your one plant,
so
wow.
but you'll see a garden full.
Yeah.
There's so much on the other side when you just say, yes,
yeah.
God put me in, whatever it looks like, my hands are open.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm going to literally lay down my life for this vision and this calling
yeah.
and do whatever it takes to build your kingdom.
Man,
yeah.
Lord.
Watch and see what he does.
Yeah.
Watch and see what he does with your life.
Amanda and I were reading a verse yesterday, and she was reading, and I was like, I feel like you should read that over the people tomorrow. So I asked her to read this last verse, and I'll pray out, and then
yeah.
we'll be all out of here in a second. But Amanda has some fire inside of her, so as she's reading that verse, if something is speaking to you, you can close your eyes. You can
yeah.
you can lift your hands
yeah.
like this as a receiving act. But go for it, babe.
Okay. It's in Psalms 92. It says, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night on an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp with harmonious sound. For you, Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. O Lord, how great are your works. Your thoughts are very deep. A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this. When the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. But you, Lord, are on high forevermore. For behold your enemies, O Lord. For behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. But my horn, say my horn,
my horn.
You have exalted like a wild ox. And Shoreline City, staff team, serve team, our internship team, we have been anointed with fresh oil. Say, amen. I have been anointed with fresh oil. My eyes also have seen my desires on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. But Shoreline City, the righteous shall flourish like a palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. They shall still bear fruit in old age. They shall be fresh and flourishing to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him.
Father, I pray for everybody that's listening to this right now. Oh, Father, would you help us to remain in the course? Would you bless every single person that's in the sound of my voice right now? Would you give them fresh fire, fresh oil, new wine for this season? I pray that as we go, that we build the house of the Lord, that we have the zeal for your home, for your house, that we'd be able to host your presence in this place as we love on people, as we create a safe place for people that have been gone to come back home, Jesus. I pray for unity to rise up in this place like never felt before. A new size of unity over the staff team, over everybody that's in this room right now. I pray for your pastors. I pray for resilience over their hearts. I pray for love to increase. I pray for your love to be felt on your people, Father's love, something that gave us the assurance that you have us under your wing, Father. You have helped me in this past couple of days in the palm of your hand. And I pray that everybody that's feeling overwhelmed, everybody that's going through something, that they will have the insurance that you have them in the palm of your hands. Yes. That you love them, that you have better plans. Yes. Better plans. Help us to stay planted in your house, to build this home with love, to build this home with honesty, to build this home linking arms with each other and loving each other. And it's all for your glory, Jesus. Yeah. We do it all for you, not for man, not for anyone else. It's all for your glory, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Let's give it up.